This interview was produced for Red Eye, a 3-hour current affairs program on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM. TransLink announced last month that security officers on SkyTrain will now carry guns. The Transit Authority says that SkyTrain police face dangers just like any other officer, and so there is no reason why they shouldn't be authorized to carry weapons. The BC Civil Liberties Association has spoken out against this change and the way it's been brought in. Michael Vaughan is Policy Director with the BC Civil Liberties Association, and she joins me by phone this morning. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Now, what is your objection to SkyTrain police carrying guns?
Well, we have no objection, as it were, in principle. That is, if there were a compelling justification for the need for that kind of armament, then that would be fine by us. Our concern here is that we have not heard a compelling justification. We've heard exactly as you've outlined, well, we're making them police, ergo they must be armed. So that just begs the question, let's back up a step and ask why we need to make them police.
So what would a reasonable justification be in your mind?
Well, certainly if there was the kind of violence on the SkyTrain that we could see the need for, what we're talking about here is the potential for lethal force to be dispensed. That level of violence would be a justification. We haven't heard that that's the problem.
So if there was evidence that people were carrying guns on SkyTrain, then that would be a reasonable response for the police to have guns.
It seems like that's the compelling argument in our mind.
Okay, now you said that the justification being given is that they are a police force and so they should carry guns. Is that the only reason that's been given?
Well, that's how we've understood it. I mean, we're sort of taking our understanding of this off the media. So we have the new chief constable, I think is Mr. Kind, of the special police force that's being created here. And that's the justification we've heard from him. I haven't heard any further on that.
They haven't been a police force for very long, have they? I think it's just since last year.
Oh, in fact, they haven't been at all. What they've been is a security force. What they're doing is they're bringing in legislation to make them special constables, and that would bring them under the Police Act. So they would, in fact, become peace officers in the sense that the legislation acknowledges.
Now, my sense of the way things have gone is that there's been a kind of incremental change going on, that initially they were described as a special constables, but they didn't have the power to arrest, and then they got the power to arrest, and now they have the power to carry guns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what you're saying is that now we have a situation that because all that change has taken place, then, they are police and so they should carry guns, and this is the reason that's being given.
Right, the formal change made in legislation in order to justify what, is arguable has been this sort of incremental change.
Are they set up like regular police?
Well, they aren't. They are in many ways, and one of the ways that we think that the new situation will, in fact, be an improvement is it will bring the complaints process under the Police Act, and that will ultimately bring it under the jurisdiction of the Office of the Police Complaints Commissioner, which is an independent body from the police to accept public complaints. So that's very good, because up till now, if you have a complaint about transit security, it goes into a black hole. It's an internal process. There's no public accountability there. So that's a good thing. The thing that we're concerned about in terms of the accountability process, though, is with police, the standard of accountability is what's called civilian oversight. That would be your basic police board made up of non-police who oversee the detachment. Well, in this case, the police board is made up entirely of police. And I have heard no justification for why we have no civilian oversight of this special unit. I find that troubling.
And I understand the police board is just appointed by the Attorney General's office, am I right?
I'm not sure what the appointment process is, but in this case, as I say, the police board is made up entirely of, it sounds like the chief officers of other police detachments.
Now, do you have concerns about the use of guns apart from the way that this was brought in?
Absolutely. There's a couple of angles of concern. One is, you know, you clearly change the culture of a public space by introducing armed officers. There's no doubt about that. And then there's a danger element here. One thing that I have not heard anybody respond to is what it means when we essentially up the ante on a security force that has always been armed in the sense that they've had pepper spray and they've had batons, but now that we introduce the potential for lethal force into confined spaces where typically we have masses of the public, obviously we're dealing with a very unique situation where the dispensing of lethal force in that context presents a huge danger element. You know, this is not a typical dispensement of force, I would argue, situation. And so it's one thing to say, you know, well, we'll train them as any other police officer, of course. You know, I think there is a unique danger element here, and I'd want to hear more about how we're going to go about, you know, making this policy so conservative that we are ensuring that there are not, you know, passers-by who are exposed to a level of danger that is just unacceptable.
Now, I'm interested in your comment about changing the culture of a public space. Did you want to talk a little more about that?
Well, I think it's not even, you know, it's nothing that we explore in any great extent. I just think, you know, I've heard this from from people who call up to say, you know, they're either in favor of our position or they're not in favor of our position, that there are people who this change actually frightens. There are other people who feel more secure. But there are people who this change to having, you know, people with guns in a public space, not just, you know, brought in if there's a problem, which is the typical police standard, but people who patrol this very limited corridor with weapons. I don't think that there's, I'm not a sociologist by trade, I don't think that there's any doubt from the members of the public that I've heard from that they feel that this changes the dynamic in a way that, as I say, makes some people feel more secure. I have heard that argument, but I've certainly heard the argument that it makes people afraid at the same time.
Now, I know that people have been contacting your office with concerns about this change, and you mentioned some of the comments that you've got. Have you also heard from people who have had interactions with SkyTrain police who are concerned about now that the fact that those people that they're interacting with are going to have guns?
Well, yes. Typically, we have one of the things our office does is assist people through the police complaint process if they would like to lodge a complaint about the police. And so it's not unusual that we might have somebody to contact us if they have a complaint about SkyTrain security, which will now be, as I say, these special constables. So we've, you know, given them information to guide them through the process, and it's not unusual that they'll explain what the content is, the substantive issue is that they're making their complaint about. And yes, we have actually had a couple of people say, you know, this is what happened to me, and now my concerns, which were there before, are heightened. Like I say, you know, we're pleased that we're finally getting some transparency in this complaint process. We're pleased about that, but there has been a level of concern that's been expressed to us.
What do you think should have happened before the government took this precedent-setting step? It'll be the first armed force on transit in Canada. What do you think should have happened before we went there?
Well, I think just a much greater degree of public debate about the need for this. As you say, this is unprecedented. It's not like, you know, we can take this as a routine measure. What I'm hearing from people and what we sense is this is a radical change. It's not without serious potential for detriment, along with what the alleged benefits might be. I don't think this should have been kind of sprung on the public as a fait accompli, which it was. You know, it's like we're doing this. We're making the special constables. We'd heard that. We got the run up to that. We heard that. You know, we're planning to make this change, and we will consider whether they should be armed. That's what we heard. And when it got to the announcement of we're making the change, oh, by the by, because they're police, we have to arm them. That was the logic. Well, that seems disingenuous to tell us that there's a debate or there's going to be some, you know, there's going to be some kind of process to determine whether or not that's a good idea and then have it presented as a done deal at the end.
Now, I know that people in the public have been talking about the possibility of having turnstiles and that kind of thing, but it appears that that hasn't been something that the transit authority has been talking about.
Well, you know, it is frustrating because when you're dealing with security measures, you know, the obvious physical things are, you know, so typically the last to be entertained. I have heard a spokesperson for TransLink basically say in response to that question that, you know, turnstiles are because the technology or something of that extent is readily obsolete. They're not cost effective. I've heard that argument presented. I query it. I have to say that doesn't make intuitive sense to me. So, but I'm not an expert on the issue. It does seem like there's some obvious physical security measures that could be taken that were opted out of, and I'm no wiser than any other member of the public as to what the holdup is on those.
And I guess the interesting thing is that there are cities in Canada which have had rapid transit systems for longer and that are more extensive than Vancouver, and that they haven't felt that they needed to resort to this measure.
No, I will say an argument that I have heard put forward is, you know, given that we have this quite extensive transit corridor that goes through several municipalities, one of the things that the SkyTrain police would be able to do is kind of cut across several jurisdictions, right? So, you know, the Vancouver Police Force has a certain jurisdiction, you know, Surrey Police Force has a certain jurisdiction. So apparently there's an argument that there's been some confusion when you have, as it were, I guess, a traveling suspect. I have to say that seems highly theoretical to me. And, you know, we certainly haven't heard any police forces arguing, well, we just don't know what to do. We don't cross the line when, you know, we're pursuing a suspect into another jurisdiction. I have never heard that argument brought forward. It's been something that's been raised as an example of what the SkyTrain police could do that we can't do now. But again, I don't know that there's any merit to that argument in the sense that there's a current problem.
Have you had any response to the concerns that you're raising either from the AG's office or from Bob Kine, the chief officer of the security force?
No, indeed we haven't. And it's quite frustrating because we had worked with the Solicitor General's office on this issue and had in fact raised several points, for example, about, you know, the complaints process and accountability. And so we were a little bit taken by surprise in terms of the announcement, and the announcement, I should say, with what we would argue is the failure to justify.
Well, thank you very much for talking to us this morning, Michael.
You're very welcome.
I've been speaking with Michael Vaughan. She is Policy Director with the BC Civil Liberties Association. Red Eye is produced by an independent media collective and airs on Vancouver Cooperative Radio. You can hear the program from 9 until noon Pacific Time, streaming live at cooperadio.org.